And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, happy Friday. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I actually just got a text on my personal text line as the show was starting. Maybe you can... This is from Dane from Nolensville. It says, "Make it farting stop, dude." I don't know who that would be referencing, but I don't know. I'm just saying. This is the text I got. So, well, I wonder what that would be referencing.
I would just say that there's typically, Ian, a certain artist that may or may not appear before our show that people tend to respond to. Quite frankly. If I could speak today, it'd be good. People seem to respond to it, and it's made me speechless.
Yeah. So that's it. All right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Take your breath away.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, breathtaking. It's like the baby in Seinfeld. He's breathtaking. What does that mean? Is that bad or good? I don't know.
Maybe both.
Well, maybe.
Depends on your preferences and how your ears work.
It does. It depends on all that.
We're all different in our own special way.
Ian Safar, how we doing?
Oh, doing great, guys. Happy Friday to everybody. Cool moon this morning.
Yeah, I saw
my
that.
Way in. I don't know. Is that like a,
it's like a planet next
there?
To it?
Yeah. I must have missed that.
Yeah.
But it was like just like the sliver, and there's like a giant, it looked like a star, so it must be some type of planet. Like right there, almost looked like something out of a video game.
Venus.
Okay.
Just figured it out. Venus.
So, yeah, it's like...
We can see Venus, and I totally missed it.
Yep.
Huh?
And it was cool. It looked like something
legitimately right next to the
video
moon.
Game. Yeah.
But I looked up. I was like, huh, I don't know what that is. Maybe a planet. Turns out it's Venus. That's good to know.
Okay. Yeah. I almost want to go check
outside.
It out, but I guess I can't now because we're doing the show.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Just walk out the door.
I tried to take a picture, but didn't really come through on my phone.
Yeah.
But
okay, well, I'll still send it over.
Are the northern lights coming back around here anytime soon? Because that was cool, like a year ago when that happened.
I don't know.
Good talk.
Yeah. good question.
Yep. That's what I'm here for. Joe, I got bad news for you, of which you already know. The Detroit Tigers have lost again to the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, boy.
What's going on around here?
No, I mean, it's going to be... You know, I think back to their GM when he didn't do diddly at the trading deadline when he had the best team in baseball, knowing that he has the best pitcher in baseball this year and next year. And he said, yeah, you know, our job is to make the playoffs every year. And I said to myself, no, your job is to win a championship. We don't care. I mean, of course, everybody would like to be successful every year. But no, really, like the job is to win a championship. And now he's about to not make the playoffs this year.
They are 3-7 in their last 10. Cleveland on a hot streak. They've won 7 in a row, 9 of their last 10. Cleveland making a push here toward the end.
And they get the Tigers at home next week. So I'm prepared for a complete disaster.
Well,
sorry to all you folks who
have adopted the team.
Yeah, who decided that you'd join me and Grandma Pratt. With the Tigers, but you know they have a 3.5 game lead with 9 games left. So I guess I can't. You know, it's like still.
Well,
you can.
A lot of Braves fans around here. A lot of Braves fans around here, and look, we all need to be Tigers fans this weekend. Tigers, this is an opportunity here. 3 games coming up against the Braves to right the ship a little bit. As we all know, the Braves have not had a good year. So let's just go ahead and finish off not having that good year right now and get the Tigers back into the driver's seat where you feel comfortable.
I hope so, man. I mean, it would be truly an all-time. I mean, I think the biggest lead was 16.5. I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, they had the biggest lead in the division almost the entire year, in a division race almost the entire year. And here they are just completely squandering it, so... It's pretty rough. I guess, you know what? Save me some stress in October. Just have some rage in late September and save me some stress in October.
A lot of conversation on the YouTube chat right now about how Rex Road looks like he's sitting at the kids' table.
I'll have to fix the camera during the breaks.
I don't know. Is it a camera thing? Is it a chair height thing? What do we think here?
I got the chair. Let me see.
Just beautifully executed over there.
I think this is about as high as it goes. Is that help
welcome into Rex Road's kids' table. just beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, viewers.
We got a lot to get into on the program today. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will look ahead to the Titans and the Colts. We got a lot of Titans thoughts to get into today. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. And let me just tell you, if you haven't been tuning into Pigskin Pick'em, you might want to because Ian Safar may set a human record when it comes to this competition. He is 14-4 through the first 3 weeks. So that's pretty incredible. Pretty good stuff from Ian.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where I expect it to come back to Earth, but at some point, if it doesn't, we need to, you know, get Ian, like get him his own, you know, handicapping website or something, right? Yeah. I mean, like if you're gonna be that good at it, then you should be doing it professionally.
Yeah, I agree.
So we may be launching a new career for you, Ian.
The Buffalo Bills win 31-21 last night on Thursday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins. I actually thought, given what we've seen from Miami the first couple of weeks, it was a fairly good fight from the Dolphins, but they dropped to 0-3. Buffalo improves to 3-0. Buffalo didn't cover, so you can take some solace in that, I guess, if you want to, if you're a Dolphins fan. But not going well for the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, and Josh Allen continuing to be Josh Allen, 22 of 28. 213 yards, 3 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 134.1 last night. And he really didn't run it all that much. I think he ran it 4 times for 25 yards. So another performance from the Bills where you walk away and you say, yeah, I don't even know that they played all that great. And here they are 3-0 and cooking on all cylinders up there in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, it was a more entertaining game than I anticipated, honestly. And the Dolphins were kind of going up and down the field a little bit on them. But it's basically Bills by double figures is almost like a rule of life in the NFL when they play the Dolphins. So, I guess it's like, I saw some people, hey, the Dolphins haven't given up completely on Mike Daniels. So congrats on that, I guess.
Good to know 3 weeks into the year.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good to know. But, seems like that's going one clear way, and the Bills just continue to roll.
Mike McDaniel, according to Odd Shark, the overwhelming favorite to be the first coach fired in the league this year. Minus 500 odds. Pretty large favorite. Can you guess who number two in the National Football League is?
I don't think it's Brian Callahan. I know there's someone obvious that we've even talked about that who is now eluding me. Probably Daboll.
He's number three. Brian Callahan's number two.
Oh, Callahan is number two.
Callahan's number two.
Really?
Yep. And according to Odd Shark. Yeah.
And those odds are what?
It is +350
to be the first coach fired. Interesting. Okay. Well, Callahan's moving up then.
Yes, he is. Not what you want to see. Yeah. Daboll is number three, so you got him.
Yeah, we going. I know this is different than Vegas odds, but we had that question at the Athletic, and I don't think Callahan registered in the top five. But then it's like, is that just
do people understand the Titans play football?
Yeah, people just forgetting the Titans exist might be the answer there.
Yeah, I saw a video. I think it was on like TikTok or something yesterday, and I guess they went around to like it was Barstool. Like they went around to all their employees, and they were like, which team is going to finish the worst in the league this year? And there's a ton of like Saints, Bears, a lot of votes for the Jets. Nobody voted for the Titans. And it was like, oh, yeah, the Titans. They play football, huh? It's good stuff. They're in the NFL. I think people just totally forget that the Titans are there.
Right. Like they're the like Belichick calls himself the 33rd team.
Yeah.
But it's like really people think there's only 31.
Yeah. They're like, oh, wait, yeah. Tennessee.
We're the 32nd team.
This is a low T alert.
poor Titans. Or maybe when in times like these, maybe it's not that bad.
They're going to take notice this weekend when the Titans march in there to Nissan Stadium and take down the Indianapolis Colts 24-21, which will happen. as I've said multiple times this week.
Sure.
It's going to happen
okay.
this weekend, and I hope it's been clipped this week so we can play it coming up on Monday morning when it's the same score, as I say, and the Titans win.
What is it again?
24-21.
Okay.
Tennessee Titans. I'm not going crazy thinking they're going to win, like, you know, get into the 30s or anything.
That's like predicting the 2007 New England Patriots to score like 110 points in a game. Predicting the Titans to score 24.
It's like 24.
Look at you going out on a limb.
An offensive explosion. Speaking of the Tennessee Titans, some interesting comments from Cam Ward earlier this week that don't have anything to do with the game on Sunday, but are pretty interesting when you look at it, and it's right up Joe Rexroad's alley. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 the game.
What adjustments can you make to kind of better protect the ball in the pocket? Obviously, you don't want to fumble like you had in the fourth quarter last game on Sunday. What adjustments do you think you can make there in that front?
Just keeping two hands on the ball. Just always knowing where my outlet is and, you know, trying to get grass in the new stadium.
Have you mentioned the new grass to anyone in particular, or is that just some kind of a joke?
You know? No, I ain't mentioning yet. It'll get mentioned eventually. But, I mean, we practice on grass while we don't play on grass.
That's Cam Ward earlier this week talking about the grass. It's like, hey, man, we practice on grass out here. Why ain't we playing on grass at Nissan Stadium? Why ain't we having grass at the new Nissan Stadium? Let's get that figured out there.
Because your owner's cheap. If you didn't know that answer, I'm sure he does. There it is.
Well,
she's not alone, but that's what the answer is.
Well, I mean, is it too late? I mean, they've already made the decision to not have grass in the new stadium, so can they change it at this point?
Oh, they won't.
Oh, I know they won't. Could they?
Sure. Why couldn't they? Right now it's coming together out there.
Sure.
But I don't think they've got the turf down.
No, they do not have the turf down.
That'd be pretty bad construction.
Like, wow, turf's down 2 years early. How about that?
Oh. Dust and nails and stuff keep falling on the turf. I'm sure that'll be fine. No, they could do it. It's look, this is, first of all, good on him. First of all, let me give credit to Gentry Estes, friend of the show, wrote a column about this, which I got to find that. I love the headline on it. Cam Ward versus the turf is my new favorite subplot of Titan season. So we heard that, but he's made other references.
Yeah.
Well, like he's big on this.
He's big on this.
And he's 100% right.
Speaking of Gentry, the first line of his piece is very good. Blaming season for the Tennessee Titans is like pumpkin flavoring. It keeps arriving earlier each fall.
That's poetry right there.
That is good stuff there.
July 4th, pumpkin time. Woo!
So we had this discussion when the new stadium was announced about the turf and whether or not they should play on natural grass. And pretty quickly after we started having that discussion, it was determined that they're not going to play on natural grass. So the stadium, the one they've got right now, it's not on natural grass. So I'm with you. They're not going to change it. Like, at this point, I think it kind of is what it is. I don't know all the logistics now that go into it with trying to have natural grass on a completely enclosed stadium that's not retractable. I don't know anything about all that stuff. I'm not a groundskeeper out there. But I do find it interesting that the quarterback is already like, yeah, man, it sure would be nice to play on natural grass around here at some point if we're going to practice on it.
Right. I mean, he slipped last week on something that wouldn't have happened with grass. And now, of course, this also brings up to me, you know, the stadium again, this tremendous stadium at tremendous cost. However you want to spin anything, dice it up, it's the most public money ever for a stadium. And I've heard the spin about, oh, this is what, you can't have a roof. I mean, you know, retractable roof. I mean, how much would you really use that? Well, let's keep every home game this year. This will be two for two. Let's keep track of what days it would be nice to have open air for a football game. I bet you it'll be all but about one or two because we don't live in Indianapolis. We live in Nashville, Tennessee.
I don't know. It was pretty hot the other day.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess, if you want to be soft, I mean, that's fine.
I mean, it's not hot for me because yeah. I love that stuff, but I heard people that went to Nissan Stadium said it was pretty hot.
Okay, well, that's fine.
It's going to be 91 on Sunday.
It's about $300 million more to the cost that they should have done. If you're going to do this big thing, don't be cheap. Make it the best possible thing it can be. A retractable roof would have done that.
I agree.
And now the grass is very simple. The NFL put out some, they had some study where, you know, like, I'm not sure it really is safer. And like, and then the Titans tried to have this. I mean, I remember Vrabel participated in this with some dumb quote in a press release about, you know, late in the year, the grass gets, you know, and then it's actually more dangerous then. The information, the preponderance.
Sure.
Sure. The bulk of the information tells you the grass is safer. The bulk of the information tells you the grass is more expensive. If they do this with a stadium, they have to have it on the trays, which is what they do in Arizona. Do they do that in Vegas? I don't know. They do it in Arizona.
Yeah, they definitely do it in Arizona.
It's more expensive. Also, you're playing on grass, as you should. As all football players want to do, they want to play on grass. So, here we go. Cam Ward, the whole franchise is supposed to be built around Cam Ward, right? I mean, he's already, and good for him, he's already barking about this, and I love it because it's ridiculous, and it needs to be called out. I mean, I understand, like, we're already, like, out here calling out all the bad football stuff and everything, but this is, to me, inexcusable cheapness that is putting your players, your employees, the product, the reason people know who you are, in harm's way.
Well,
why is that okay?
I love that he's willing to say it because I think there's a lot of players and quarterbacks in his position that are rookies that are early in their career that wouldn't even bother saying stuff like this. And I think one thing we learned about Cam Ward, I have no idea if he's going to end up being a great quarterback or not. He's not afraid to speak his mind, and I like that. Like,
yes.
I enjoy the fact that, you know, even if some of it you look at and you're like, really? You think Tony Pollard's top five running back in the league? You think Treylon Burks is top five? Okay, cool. I'm not like he will speak his mind, and I am totally fine with that. So I enjoy that we're 2 weeks into his NFL season or career, and he's already like, yeah, it sure would be nice to play on some natural grass out there, wouldn't it? At the end of the day, is that the biggest issue facing the Titans right now? Of course not. But I do love that Cam Ward, this early in his career, is not afraid to tell people what he thinks.
Yeah, and look, just again, he slipped once. You know, it's you really hope someone doesn't get hurt. You know, seriously. Then you always get into, well, I mean, how do you know? You know, is that really the turf that you would attribute it to? You know, I think for example, like Derrick Henry's injury suffered in Indianapolis. You know, that's one of those. I believe, what's his name? Is it Dr. David Chow?
Yes.
I believe it was him or maybe another Twitter doctor pointed out that, like, that's one of those where.
What's his name?
What's that?
What's his name? Dr. What's his name pointed it out.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. What's his name? Twitter doctor pointed out that, like, that's one of the, like, that's the type of an injury, like the pounding, for example, where if you had it on grass, you might not have the same injury. I mean, that's the. You know, obviously you can have a non-contact, easily get hurt on grass. I mean, people, there's a bunch of injuries. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But some of the wear and tear injuries, and even if they're not big injuries, what people always say, and I think actually Tannehill was outspoken about this too when he was here, is how you feel after a game on grass versus how you feel after a game on turf. I think Aaron Rodgers has talked about this. A lot of people have talked about this. It's worlds apart. And look, I can't speak to that, but I believe that these guys aren't lying, you know? So, again, like at this point, you know, we used to be in the NFL and in sports, it used to be these, you know, these new stadiums in the 70s, and they just played on painted cement,
cool.
You know? And so, we've come a long way with the turf. The turf is certainly better. It's more grass-like. It's closer. And, you know, the Titans in the indoor, they have the same turf that they have on the field. But it is, like, most of their time is spent on grass. So even the injury, just take it to, like, take it to consistency of performance. Would it not help you to have the same surface, practice, and
I mean,
game?
You would think. I mean, that part of it, for sure, you would think. I mean, You mentioned the old days of the turf. Like I told you and Paul the other day, I was watching on YouTube, came across highlights from the 2000 Titans. And they're up there at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. And it's like, man, look at that field. Looks like if you fell on it, you'd break every bone in your body. Like, it's crazy. Just the turf that they used to play on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that the last part you hit on is what kind of stands out to me. Like, practice on what you play on, right? Like, just if you're going to practice on grass, it'd be nice to have you playing on grass out there. One texter says, here's the thing. I hate turf, but Nissan Stadium is used by too much stuff, and the grass has been terrible. We're in a transition zone, as well as far as not being able to grow in grass. You have TSU, concerts, other things, and it's just not going to be a good product. Ed says, does anyone remember when we had grass? The field was a joke halfway through the year. It was an ice hockey rink.
Yeah. No, that was their point, and I understand the idea of you have other things there, right? So it's not just you using it. Fine. Okay. So you're moving to a new stadium. And again, the method of that is the grass, like on these trays that you bring in. It's more expensive. But to me, it seems as if you could do that, have that as your system, and then when with other things, like for, I mean, obviously, who cares for a concert? You're not bringing it out for that, right? So, or you know, if you have, you know, the Final Four or whatever big events, that's just, it's not even, it's just, it stays in wherever the heck they keep it, wherever the heck Arizona keeps their trays of grass, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So moving forward, do this. You can still do this. Don't be cheap. Invest. You. This is your personal ATM. This franchise is going to make is making you so much money, and you know it. Anybody who's lucky enough to own a team in this league, you are printing money. So don't be cheap and do something that's good for your players.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Rex Road, passionate about how the Titans need to get some grass, and apparently the franchise quarterback is with him. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is Auburn taking on Oklahoma at 2:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available in the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. For those reaching out, yes, we are aware that we are having some issues on the radio right now. We are working to fix that. In the meantime, tell your friends, YouTube, the app, check out the app. You can check it out on YouTube, Twitter, wherever you want to get the program, and we will hopefully have the signal fixed here in a second on the radio. So looking forward to that. 615-737-1025. Ron says, good morning, guys. I'm old school, and I like how weather and conditions on the field of play a huge part in the game, in the elements, and it's up to your organization to give you a playable field. Well, that's the thing here, Joe. Like, you don't have to worry about the elements that much here. Like, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to rain at some point here. But, like, how many Titans games have they played in the snow here, right? Like, I don't think it's been very many. There's been some, but it hasn't been very many where you've had to worry about, oh, my goodness, there's enough snowfall out here to we got to move. We got to get the plow out here. Yeah. We can't even see the yard lines. It's crazy. Out here.
Well, it's like that famous snowplow game with it was definitely in New England, Patriots Dolphins.
Yeah.
And that was back in the day of people playing on painted cement.
Yeah.
Now, see, the turf in like Cleveland is an example. If you remember like the old, I guess it would have been Municipal Stadium where the Browns played, that certainly was a place that by mid-November, certainly in December, like it was like they're just playing on mud with some grass. So I get having, especially now that we've made these advances in turf, it is better. It's safer. It's close. So in places like that, I totally get it. But look, I would say this about any dome you want, as long as you have the technological ability to maintain the grass, Detroit, they should be doing the grass thing. I mean, all these places. Just because the turf is better and it's closer doesn't mean it's as good as grass. These freaking owners, really? Like, like, how could you possibly try to justify being cheap about anything when it comes to your product, when it comes to the safety of your players? Every year in this league, we're already in a crisis of losing great players and altering the NFL season because of it. Cincinnati's out of its quarterback again, right? I'm not saying that's because of grass, but I'm saying anything that you can do to help the math on keeping players healthier, it's unconscionable to me that that would not be an action you would take as a billionaire owning a football team in this league. It's really absurd. It's kind of disgusting.
Santa says, the stadium, in my opinion, is not being built for football. It's being built for other events where weather impacts attendance, concerts, CMA Fest, etc. I mean, I agree with that to a certain degree, but like, if you do the retractable roof, you can just throw the roof up, right? Like, if you're doing a concert, just do the roof. That's why the retractable roof would have made, I think, a lot of sense.
Yeah, look, I've been to several Colts games where the roof was open. It was fantastic. And I know their whole thing, that was the Titans. I mean, the spin was coming out heavy on, well, like, look at how rarely. I'm like, yeah, well, 4.5, 5 hours south, you think maybe there's a little bit of a difference? Do we not have, like, we absolutely have November Sundays that are open air friendly where it wouldn't be in Indy.
In the 60s.
Can we all agree on that?
I would agree.
So but that, well, that ship has sailed. Do something that's not cheap.
Rex Rhodes is going to march into the Titans' office, be like, scrap the plans, baby. Bring the retractable roof back. Take the cranes down. Let's start over.
Well, actually, I mean, I got to go drive by it. I mean, I don't think they've got, like, do they have the roof on at this point?
I don't think the roof is on.
So, okay.
I think some beams and pillars and all that other stuff is in place that may impact the roof, but roof's not on yet.
I mean, if it's not on, it's not too late, I guess, right? I'm trying. I mean, I've given up on that. But the grass thing, really, yeah. So Liam says players get hurt on grass too. I know, Liam. I know they do. I didn't say that grass is some magical fountain of youth where, ooh, it's like E.T. Oh, Elliot, ouch. And you're, I mean, shut up.
Brian says,
I didn't even read the rest of the text. Sorry, Liam. He said, should play in a big field of banana pudding then. Everyone would be safe. All right.
Now we're talking.
You're just messing with me.
Now we're talking.
You're just messing with me.
Brian says, thanks a lot, guys. Now I've got something else to watch and complain about with the Titans. Have a great weekend. Way to go, guys. We hadn't reached that quota yet of complaining about the Titans. Now we can talk about the grass.
Have we done enough complaining about the football team? Here's something else. No, this is all Cam Ward.
In fairness, the quarterback did it, not us this time.
Yeah, no, Cam Ward generated this discussion, and I really appreciate it. I do. You know, the thing about Cam Ward is, yes, you know, Treylon Burks, top five receiver, that'll always, you know, be part of his legacy.
Good stuff.
But you know, I do like how he also like goes out of his way, even if it's like he throws a pass that obviously should be caught. He's like, yeah, I mean, I should have, you know, placed the ball. I should have found a way to like teleport myself downfield and just hand the ball off to him. That's on me. And he goes overboard and trying to take the blame for everything, which I think is great. That's cool. But also now I love this. Absolutely. It's a totally valid question. We practice on grass, and then on Sundays we go out here and play on this stuff. Why?
I hope he doesn't slip on Sunday. If he slips on Sunday because of the playing surface, I mean, you're going to lose it on Monday morning.
Well,
that long fuse will be back on full display.
Again, it's just the data is, again, the NFL, I don't know. I don't remember. Remember this? They came out with something. It's like, well, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the NFLPA is like, well, here's like decades of data that, you know, that refutes that. But thank you. It's safer to play on grass. There's like no one who would in good faith argue otherwise. It's not totally safe. But over time, it's better for injuries. It's better for wear and tear. So it's like we think of injuries, but what about if it really is that, if the recovery is that much harder week after week after week, are you not potentially performing better if you play on grass every week compared to someone who's, I mean, is that not, I would think that would at least be arguable, right?
Maybe.
So again, why would you not want not only, you know, data that says more health, fewer injuries, but also just better performance, easier recovery.
What do you think Amy thought when she saw her quarterback talking about how they don't have grass out there? What do you think her thoughts were?
I don't know.
Now, Cam, We already going with turf. I don't need you to be calling me out publicly like that.
Think she sent him a text?
Maybe. I'm asking you.
I don't know, man. I hope she heard it. I mean, who knows? Like, does it get to Texas? I mean, does it reach Texas? I don't know.
Amy watch like all of the media availabilities with her quarterback? I don't know.
This is a great question.
I don't know the answer.
I really don't know. You know, some people just want underlings to tell them what's going on.
If I were owner, I would watch the media availabilities with the coach and quarterback. Now, I don't know that I would go beyond that, but the coach and quarterback I would watch. Just get a sense of what's going on out there.
Yeah. I mean, if I owned a football team, I think I'd probably want to be informed on everything.
Get the headset.
Well, people are saying, well,
Rexrode would have the headset on the sideline.
It's a thing now.
Hey, what play call is that? Where's that end on the sheet?
My question is
53B sounds good.
You know, with these headsets. So Brady and Irsay's daughter.
Yeah.
I assume then they have the ability to pipe in?
I mean, I hope not. I hope they're
Brady would be one thing.
Like Brady, you know, say what you will about that whole setup, but like he's the greatest quarterback of all time. So if he wants to pipe in, sure.
I guess.
Like the owner? I don't know that you need.
Wait a minute, guys. Have you thought about running the ball here? It's 3rd and 11. We should run.
I think a draw play would really catch him off guard. Honestly, if I was one of the coaches, even I don't care what Brady did previously in his career. And you know, someone pointed this out this week. I mean, he's never around during the week, apparently. So I'd be pretty pissed if he actually tried to pipe in. Like, Shut up.
I'm just saying, like, at least that would you would. Like, oh, yeah, he's played pretty high-level football for a long time.
He understands what a play call
like
means.
Like the owner out there just be like, guys, I think this diagram here on section 37 of the playbook would be a great one to run here. Let's do that.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Now that you've said it, I kind of hope there is a talk-back option here. I hope we look down on the side. Like, does Irsay's daughter travel? Is she going to have the headset on the sideline Sunday at Nissan?
Good question. Is this a road?
Is this a home and road thing? Is it just a home thing?
Yeah, and also, is it always going to be silent at some point when the weather starts to get bad? Now, of course, in Indy, they're fine, but like if you're on the road, is it then you just do it in the booth?
Yeah,
you know, these are all very good questions.
Maybe so.
All very good questions. Ed says, "Man, imagine if Joe Dumars played on grass." Good one, Ed.
Says, I'd like to see Joe strolling through the construction site with a pocket full of grass seed, slowly sprinkling them on the ground. Here's some grass for you.
Like on the Shawshank prison yard.
Here's some nice grass. Get the playing surface ready to go.
If we just start planting it now, it'll be perfect by 2027.
It's going to be beautiful. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Blake Bedingfield had some very interesting takes at paulkuharski.com about what the Titans should already be considering after week two. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds take on Louisville with first pitch at 6:15. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, Blake Bedingfield, who of course writes at PaulKuharski.com, is got a lot of things after the week two performance against the Rams that he touched on in his weekly piece at PaulKuharski.com. And we'll get to some more of those here in just a few minutes. But one of the things that really stood out, he was talking about looking ahead and the outlook going forward for the Titans after the start and where they are as a franchise. And I'll just read a couple of lines here. It says, quote, I know the Titans have only played 2 weeks, but this is a rebuilding year. And during those times, you must trade assets while they're healthy and playing at a level that has value. My focus going forward would be to trade players that won't be producers when Ward hits his prime. That is 2 years away. I trade Legarius Sneed, Jeffrey Simmons, and Calvin Ridley. I also look to shop Tyler Lockett, Arden Key, Draymond Jones, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Kevin Zeitler. The trade deadline isn't until November the 4th. That was Blake Bedingfield at PaulKuharski.com. Joe, your thoughts?
All football players with half a pulse, you are gone. You get a Titan. You get a Titan. You get a Titan.
Everything must go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I understand. Obviously you take all these names together and you're like, wow, imagine how bad this football team could be. Could this possibly be? Could you create the worst NFL team of all time? But I don't disagree in theory with the idea of if you have someone who, and I think especially, see, I don't know about Ridley. I might, like, is Ridley, okay, this is year two of a four-year, right?
Yeah. Think he'll start catching the ball?
Well, that's a fair question. But I think even if it's not, you know, look, you have to, like, you can't suck forever, man. Like you can't suck in 2026, right? So I think that someone, and they do seem to have good chemistry. I know it's not really bearing out in two games, but there are some things where we have to remember that we've seen two games and we haven't seen nine games, right? So I think Ridley is someone I would want to keep around for Cam Ward, and you hope Iron Manor keeps growing, and you're going to have to go, certainly, I think, spend a pretty significant pick on a receiver in the next draft.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I don't – this season is not – I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And so, of course, you monitor that, and we got weeks ahead before you have to – like, if Snead is going to be on the field enough and play as well as he did for the most part last week, I think that I could definitely see somebody being interested in him as a add-on, and certainly Simmons. If he's going to play it up, and frankly, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, obviously Jeff Simmons had, you know, a plan to lose some weight and get a little bit quicker, get a little bit faster. And then I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in his mind was like, eh, maybe that trading deadline will be good to me. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But those are the – so I think Snead and Simmons, I agree. Ridley, I think I'd keep him around for Cam Ward. And then, yeah, the other guys, you're not getting much for the other guys he mentioned there, Lockett, Key, Joseph Day. Yeah. I don't know about Zeitler either, just because, like, if Zeitler ends up playing well, I think I'm going to try to go ahead and keep some continuity and keep an offensive line in front of my young quarterback too.
Well, I wouldn't do any of this, at least for another few weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I know that Blake's not advocating, like, hey, right this second, start trading everybody.
He's setting the stage.
So he's just looking. I mean, the title of the article, or this section of the article, is literally called Looking Ahead. So I get it. Like, it's not like he's talking about right now, right this second. But I hear all this, Joe, and it just underscores even more to me how important this game is on Sunday. Like, they need to win a football game badly. They really do. Like, you've got people already talking about when the coach is going to get fired. We get people texting us throughout the show every day about who's out there that they could hire to replace the coach. You've got, you know, people talking about the trade deadline already 2 weeks into a season. Like, they need to win. And I heard D-May is talking about this, and I agree. Like, is Sunday's game against the Colts must win from the standpoint of, oh, well, if they can win this game, you know, maybe they'll make the playoffs at the end of the year? No one believes that. So I understand that, you know, when you're looking at the grand scheme of NFL games, Titans Colts on Sunday is not going to rank very high in terms of importance. But I do think, like, from a fan base perspective, I mean, you already, let's face it, you just had your home opener and couldn't sell it out, and people who were there were talking about how empty the stadium was for your number one overall pick's debut. It's not good. And I know there's a new stadium coming up, and basically if you're a Titans fan out there that's interested in season tickets, your focus has shifted from the here and now to then of the new stadium. So it's in a weird kind of transition spot right now. I get all that. But if you go out there and you lose the Colts, and particularly if you just get thumped by the Colts this weekend and you're 0-3, you're a Titans fan looking at it, and you're like, man, we got 4 more months of this crap that I'm just supposed to sit through and watch every day. Like, I'll go do something else with my time. Like, I think from that standpoint, like, give your fans something to rally around, at least for a week. Like, nobody thinks you – just because if you beat the Colts on Sunday that you're going to be 10-7 at the end of the year, but give them something. Like, I think this game from that standpoint is huge on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a must-win to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
It's just, I agree. It's, you're going to have a hard time. You're just going to have a hard time changing the conversation from all these big picture things, you know? And again, like, we're already to the point of the games themselves are, you know, it should be like excited for this matchup or that matchup. And, you know, the division race, whatever, what your division rivals are doing, all that stuff. It's already just talking about big picture stuff, people's jobs, you know, and it's very early for that. Now, we knew that that was the case going into the year, but still, it's like, can you do anything to distract from that to where it's like, okay, there's some success, something for people to point to and hold on to. And yeah, if you don't get it this week, as we've talked about, look ahead, and then ahead, and, you know, it's like you could see where it could really get ugly.
Now, I will say this. If we get a few more weeks down the road and we're having some of the same discussions, then I'm with Blake on the trade deadline stuff. I'd be moving everybody possible. Like, if your model is going to be draft, develop, and then retain, well, let's get some draft picks in here. Let's get some draft picks and some draft capital ready to go. I don't know that I'm convinced. I think you're going to have to see a little bit more here from Snead in terms of being available and staying on the field for a longer amount of time.
Agree.
Before some team out there is willing to be like, yep, I'll do that. I'll give up a significant pick for that. Simmons, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, if the Titans decide at some point here in the next few weeks that Jeffrey Simmons is available, somebody will offer them something worth considering in return for that. Ridley, we'll see on that front. But I if it gets to that point here in a couple of weeks where it's clear that it's just going to be an absolute slog here, then you got to, if you're Borgonzi, you got to look at it and say, we got to get as much draft capital back as we possibly can, in my opinion.
I mean, I think it's already clear, you know, but your guarantee that you've staked everything on that they'll win this weekend may happen. Then they go to the Texans, they go to the Cardinals, they go to the, well, they have three straight road games, Texas, Cardinals, Raiders, then Vrabel comes in. I mean, okay, so what's the best case? Like when you get to, okay, the weekend before the trading deadline is the Chargers. Okay, beat the Colts, fine. They're not going to win at the Texans. I'll give them one of the two between Cardinals and Raiders. Okay, so that would be two and, help me out with math, that'd be 2-4. I guess they could beat Vrabel. So 3-4. Okay, they go lose at the Colts, 3-5. So to me, best case scenario is 3-6 at the trading deadline. Are you holding off?
No.
Right? Yeah. So I mean, in a way, yes, betting field's premature because of course it won't and of course they could shock and win more of these games than that. But 3-6, like, that would be, by the way, there'd be some good things that would have happened.
Yeah.
But still,
like won a football game.
But you're
a couple of them.
But I'm still listening. Yeah, you're right.
Matched their win total from a year ago.
Exactly. They will have won half as many as they've lost, which is still way better than like last year. So I think they're going to be in the situation of seller, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of. But again, I'm not.
But
messing,
how severe?
Yeah, but I'm not messing with anything that could hurt the performance of Cam Ward this year. So that's like Ridley, Zeitler, they're off the table for me. Any of the offensive pieces, I'm probably not messing with. Because, yeah, like if anybody who's functioning, I'm not messing with that. But defensively, sure.
I'm good. Get rid of all.
Get rid of all?
Yeah. Like, I'm
good.
I think on the offensive side.
All of it. It doesn't matter. Ridley's not a true one. Just get rid of the money.
But that's the thing. I'm with you on that. But, like, what would somebody give you for Ridley? Like, let's say Ridley is just – he is what he's been throughout his time with the Titans.
Doesn't matter.
Every now and then he's going to have a really good game. But it's very inconsistent. Like, what's somebody offering you for Ridley?
Oh, sorry. Hi.
Good morning, Joe.
Hello. A fourth? A fifth?
I'd take
it. So is that worth it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, it's not worth it. Cam Ward. Everybody likes to develop Cam Ward. Hey, Cam, who's he throwing to? That cardboard cutout. No, it's not worth it. Worth pick.
The targets for Elikayo Man are going to skyrocket.
Yeah, so then everybody else comes up. So now you got who? You got Tyler Lockett all over
Mason
though.
Kinsey.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Restrepo. What are you talking
Finally.
About?
Finally. Yes, Restrepo.
This is our path to Restrepo.
Yeah. Restrepo will bring him to a high level.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More thoughts to get to on this front. Should the Titans begin preparing for a big sell-off at the trading deadline coming up, plus some other observations from Blake Bedingfield that I think are pretty noteworthy that we'll get to. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.